You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello, and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am your co-host, the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me today, as always, the Floydinator, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's up, bro?
Hey, nothing much. I am sitting here being woke, you know, and I'm not woke in the political sense. I'm woke in I'm just trying to stay awake.
Man, this might not be the episode that you try to use to stay awake, dude, because we were just talking about how there's just not a lot going on in the wrestling world today. Like, there's just not a lot. I haven't read the newsletter came out this morning, so I haven't had a chance to read it, so we might have some stuff to talk about tomorrow. But today we were talking about, like, one of the things that you and I were just kind of discussing before we went on the air is the possibility. Well, I was asking you, and I even put it on Instagram, is it confirmed or not that Hulk Hogan is hosting the Crown Jewel?
From what I understand, the sites that have been posting have said it was on WWE.com. It was announced on the website. So I never went to the website to check because, you know, again, my interest in this show is non-existent. So I hadn't checked. I was like, because someone was like, oh my God, you made the show worse by adding Hulk Hogan. And I was like, let me just play devil's advocate, middle person.
Okay.
So you're telling me that there's a person out there that was okay with going to Saudi Arabia and watching the show, but as soon as they added Hulk Hogan, that was the thing that made them turn it off.
That was the breaking point.
I was like, no. If you weren't watching it before, you're still not watching it. And if you were watching it before, you're still gonna watch it. It's like, I mean, I will tell anybody, I have no problem with Hulk Hogan. Zero. Because the word woke is probably becoming my most hated word ever, because I'm starting to realize how it's used. It's used as in, if you're woke, you agree with everything that person agrees with. And people that are not woke are people that don't agree. And me, it just become sensitive, you know? Let me tell you, I'd rather you call me the worst names in the world and treat me right than, I'm going to be respectful to you and then be an asshole to me in your actions. I mean, that's how I grew up. I was raised by a Marine. It's not what you say. It's your actions that matter. You know, Hulk Hogan had a slip up, a horrendous, horrible, something he never should have said ever. But every time I've met him, every fan he's met, he's been good to. And I'd rather you just treat me well than what you say every moment.
So you're more of an advocate to forgive and forget when it comes to Hulk Hogan.
I'm more of an advocate of, yes, I'm a very much. Seriously, I'm a second chance person. I'm a fifth chance person. I am give a person that many chances. Hogan didn't kill anyone.
Right.
He didn't hit anybody with his car. He didn't permanently damage anybody. He got caught recording saying something he thought was a private conversation. And I'm just like, I don't know. I have pretty raunchy conversations with my friends, and we say shit we would never want anyone to hear. Ever. Because in most of the time, we're not even serious. It's just fun, you know? But you don't want anybody else to hear it. It's just, oh, this is funny. And it's like, oh, Hogan got busted and he got caught, and it's like, I'm not talking about ending the man's career, you know? He apologized, and a lot of people thought he just apologized for getting caught. Personally, I would find it hard to differentiate on my apology. Because I'm true, if you're being honest, you're only sorry you got caught. You're not really sorry you said it. Most people aren't.
Yeah, you know I could really see that. Most people that, and I'm not, yeah. and everyone, I think if people that listen to the show, and you as well know that, you know, you and I disagree on the Hogan stance, you know what I mean? But I totally respect what you said about you're a second chance, a fifth chance person. That very much rings true to me, because I'm a person that has had like many, many chances to get right in my life before I finally did it, when it came to like, you know, my opiate addiction and having to go to rehab on multiple occasions and stuff like that. So I totally respect that stance. But you know, as far as like, you know, the Hogan thing, you know, you and I have different viewpoints on it, and we're not going to, that isn't why we brought up the Hogan thing.
But it kind of, you know, in a way, a little bit is, because everyone is acting like it's so much worse to have him involved. And
that's true. That's true. Yeah.
It's true. Like seriously, like, just think about it. It's like with you, just you had a disease, you had addiction, that's a problem. And if someone ever come up to me and's like, well, how could you do a podcast with Jordan, you know, this is what he's done in his past, and I'm like, everybody has shit,
right?
You know,
right.
Only thing with Hogan's shit is that the whole world knows about his shit, you know what I mean?
Right Yeah, I get that.
I got a lot of shit that I probably wouldn't want anybody to know about, but guess what? Probably no one will ever know about it.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? You know, forgiveness between me and my friends, stuff. That's what I'm just saying. I am just saying I am a flawed human being. Just like it all. And I'm like, I don't know what religion, creed, or whatever you are, but the one I particularly follow, without saying, believes that we are all flawed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that we should forgive. And it's truly what I believe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not going to take that one moment, that one recording, and decide who he is as a person. Because I don't know.
And I totally respect that. I totally respect your viewpoint on that.
Because he fought like hell for his son. After his son screwed up, he fought like hell for his son.
Did he? See, I guess that was kind of...
Yeah, when they got in the car accident and the dude got injured, and Hogan was there for his son and fighting and taking up for his son, Nick, and it's just like, he's a great dad to Nick, you know, and he's a great dad to Brooke, you know, and he's a good person to a lot of people. It's just, you see someone at their lowest point, that's not who they are.
What do you think, kind of going over towards the hosting portion of, I guess that's what they're calling it. He's going to be hosting the Crown Jewel. Like, yeah, is that what you read?
Yes, and in hosting, you've seen the New Day host WrestleMania, you've seen The Rock. Generally, they come out at the beginning, do a little talking segment. I'm pretty sure the way the country's set up, as far as TV and all that stuff, Hogan's a really big name. Because generally those type of countries and things like that, I'm not saying they're third world, but based on the entertainment, a lot of times it's 80s, 90s entertainment, because, you know, it's wholesome and they're trying to catch up. So I'm thinking Hogan's a pretty big draw. So I feel like they lost John Cena, who is
Mr. Wholesome.
Yeah, big name in wrestling. You know, just a big name in wrestling. And Saudi Arabia is like, we want someone else since we lost John Cena. And as far as names in wrestling, there's not many names as big as John Cena and as big as Roman Reigns, who they also lost him to, unfortunately, not in WWE's control.
Right.
But who's a name that's bigger than Roman Reigns and John Cena?
Yeah, you got to go either Rock, Stone Cold, or Hogan, right?
Yeah, and who's available to work?
Right. Do you think, is this kind of a sign of just how much money the WWE is making off of this that they will reconcile with Hulk Hogan to bring him in? Since they need him,
like they'd already brought him back and put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean,
did they already put him back? I knew that he was backstage at a pay per view a while back. Remember that was a big deal. How he apologized to the locker room, and there was some heat on him for that. And you know, I don't know too much about that. I don't even know if we covered that on the show or not. But
they reinstated him, and the big problem was a lot of people said he was apologizing for getting caught, not apologizing for what he said. The main message was make sure you know when you're being recorded.
Right. And that's a whole different conversation. But do you think that they would have called him to host, like if this was, say, WrestleMania, where they're not making as much money, but it's a huge deal? Do you think that they would have called him to host WrestleMania this year?
Absolutely.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Yes. One thing about Vince McMahon is incredibly loyal. I mean, Undertaker still makes $2 million a year. Does he do $2 million worth of work for the WWE?
No, I don't think so.
No. No. Vince McMahon is loyal. He takes care of the people that take care of him. Hulk Hogan built the WWF. It was built on his back. It's his empire. Vince McMahon's always going to keep Hulk Hogan close because Vince McMahon probably believes, like me, I am kind of older, and I'm like, you know, I'm in that weird zenial generation where apparently I have Generation X values, but, you know, I know how to use computers, basically. And that being said, my whole thing is I am a little older. I believe in, you know, you when it comes to entertainment and things like that, you kind of separate the person from the character that they play.
Yeah, you know, and that's it's funny you say that. You know, we didn't even plan on talking about it like this, but that's such a good point because there's so many people out there that I guess I should ask if you feel this way, but there are some people out there that think the WWE should separate Chris Benoit as a character and Chris Benoit as a private citizen, and he should be put into the WWE Hall of Fame because of his accolades. What is your opinion on that?
Absolutely not. I love Chris Benoit. He's right. Literally one of my favorite wrestlers. There is a line, though.
Okay.
The line, I mean, murder is a line.
Right.
You know, I mean... scientific. I am big on, you know, he had dementia. He didn't know what he was doing. I fight this battle quite often as a huge Chris Benoit guy. I'm a huge Chris Benoit guy. My favorite moment in WrestleMania is WrestleMania 20. What the way the category, the way the world works right now, it can't happen.
Yeah. I 100% agree. I understand that. What about when you take the line down to, would you draw the line? Let's go outside of wrestling for this one. How about Kobe Bryant? Kobe Bryant was accused of sexual assault and rape. He was actually, I don't really know, because I've read what he was accused of. We'll just call it sexual assault. He was accused of sexual assault. He wasn't convicted of sexual assault, but he did pay some money out to keep her, you know, to be like, hey, you know, go away. And he didn't really seem to lose his fan base. So do you, is that one that you chalk up to, do you, maybe she was just getting money? Do you give him the benefit of the doubt and allow him to go into the Basketball Hall of Fame?
In my eyes, and this will be weird coming from someone of color. I believe in due process.
Gotcha.
He was not convicted.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Innocent until proven guilty.
Gotcha.
So as far as I'm concerned, Kobe didn't do anything because you have to have a line. I mean, it's like, do I think our justice system is perfect? No. Do I think there's probably people that are innocent in jail? Yes. Do I think there are probably people that are guilty or out of jail? Oh, hell yes. But you have to have a line. And the line has to be innocent, guilty. Because guess what? Anybody can accuse anybody of anything. I can say before we started recording, Jordan called me a bad name. I could say that. You know it didn't happen. I know it didn't happen. And someone's like, well, Jordan was accused of saying this. That doesn't mean you did anything.
Right.
I'm not saying Kobe did it. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm saying he wasn't convicted.
Makes sense.
That's all.
Makes sense.
That's all.
Let's move on to something maybe a little bit more happier for us. And that is, I just asked you, was it November 18th? Is that when we decided it was on?
Yes, Survivor's Takeover's the 17th.
Takeover's the 17th. So NXT War Games 2, NXT Takeover War Games 2 is November 17th. That's a Saturday night. I read on Wrestling Inc. early this morning when I was having my first of 3 cups of coffee. You don't drink coffee, do you?
I drink diet soda, but yes, and I must not have drank a lot, so the 18th was the right date. I was right with
18th. Oh, my bad. So the 18th.
No, because I told you 17th, oh. And then you switched it, and then I'm telling you, hey, I was wrong.
18th. Oh, good. So it's 18th. Over my first drink, my first cup of coffee this morning, I read a little bit about Hogan, and then I moved over to NXT War Games, and they have released the matches that we're going to see. They've been building up on NXT TV, so it's not a surprise, these matches, but these are the ones that are,
they announced them last night on the show.
Oh, okay, so it was last night on the show. And see, I always watch the shows the next day, so that's why I haven't seen that episode yet. But War Games, and I guess, is War Games going to be on the same weekend every year now, or are they just going to kind of put it in where they want? Because where
I think it's going to be the Saturday before Survivor Series.
Every year?
I think they like to keep it flexible, but yeah.
Okay, cool. So, dude, I'm really excited about this NXT War Games, and I'm not just saying that to try to hype it up for the show. Like, and maybe it's because we've already seen the first War Games, so we know what to expect. We know it's pretty cool. You know, we know the changes they made compared to, like, the old WCW War Games. I think it flowed better. It wasn't exactly the War Games that we watched as a kid, but it was, you know, updated. You know, teams were coming in all at one time. I think it was pretty cool. You know, go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, but this one's actually going to be closer to the one we saw when we were younger.
Oh, really? How so?
Because it's 4-on-4.
That's a good point. I just realized that.
Yeah, so it's not 3 teams like it was last year.
I just realized that. It's not 3 teams of 3. It's 2 teams of 4. I'm an idiot.
So, you're going to get the... You're going to get the heel team with the advantage because it's always the heel team that wins the advantage.
They always win the coin toss in the back, right?
Yeah, they always win the coin toss in the back. And because, you know, you want the baby faces to be sympathetic. And in this case, you know, you got, like, you saw, you know, three of the 4 guys on one team was in War Games last year, and they fucking killed it.
They did, so, didn't they? They killed it, bro.
I was there. I can get say that. I get to say that. So
actually,
that
well, actually, all four of them were right. Everyone in Undisputed Era, because
because Roddy was on another team.
Yeah, so he was on AOP's team.
So all four of them were on the show last year, and they can put together a match. I mean, it's funny because you could call Undisputed Era Team ROH if you wanted to.
Yeah, you really could, because you got Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, and Roderick Strong. And I think, have all them but Bobby Fish been ROH World Champion?
Yes, but I was going to say, look at the accolades. Roddy Strong is literally his nickname was Mr. ROH. Adam Cole held the ROH title more than anybody in history. Red Dragon, other than the Briscoes, probably the most successful tag team in Ring of Honor history. I'm just saying accolades, not even like, oh, they were all there. No, they were all pillars of what Ring of Honor was.
So true. Dude, you know what? Something so embarrassing. I have yet to see an ROH show live. That's so embarrassing, dude. I am a wrestling journalist, full-time. I'm a full-time wrestling journalist. I've never seen a Ring of Honor show live. I cannot believe that.
They will be in Dallas in January, so we're going.
We have to go. We have to try to go, dude.
Wow. I don't believe in the word try.
Oh, okay.
I just go.
You're the man, bro. You're the man.
I just say go. I'm going. Yeah, then.
That would be the one to go to because we could just carpool to it. All we'd have to pay for is tickets and, you know, maybe a one night in a hotel if we wanted to stay over or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah. And it's on a Thursday. That's the only – I'm definitely down to go. It's at Gilly's in Dallas. So, let's do it.
Yeah, we should. Let's get to. I just realized. So let me call out. We've been talking about this 4-on-4 match. Let me announce the participants in it for anybody that didn't watch the show last night. So it is the War Raiders teaming up with Pete Dunne and Ricochet, taking on the Undisputed Era. So it's two teams of four, like we said, instead of three teams of three that was like the last War Games. Man, that's gonna be an awesome, awesome match, dude. War Raiders, formerly obviously War Machine of Ring of Honor. I don't know if they were in TNA, but they were in Ring of Honor. They were, I don't know, were they the tag champions in ROH?
War Machine. Oh yeah, definitely.
And then
definitely.
I know they held the IWGP titles for a while too in New Japan. They were. Man, they're badass, dude. That's one of my favorite tag teams. And you know, I don't know how long they've been around because, you know, like I said, I only, and anybody that listens to the show knows that I didn't get back into wrestling until 2013, 2014. But, dude, when I came back in and started really picking up on indie wrestling, like War Machine was just this team that, you know, when I left wrestling, you know, it was... You know, Triple H and Chris Jericho were on top, and you know, like The Rock was just getting into Hollywood. And then when I get back into wrestling, there's this thriving indie scene with two guys that look like War Machine running the tag team show, and I'm just like, wow, wrestling has changed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, War Machine is—they're way more athletic than Demolition.
They are, yeah. And Marvelous Mike, our third co-host on the show. That him and I do the videos together. Everyone hears us talking about Marvelous Mike. He made that analogy before, or comparison, I should say. I've heard him say that before. That Demolition and Demolition is what, or War Raiders, War Machine was a way less athletic Demolition. This is kind of embarrassing, or not embarrassing, but dude, I've watched like maybe two or three Demolition matches my whole life. What were they like, man, as a tag team?
They were okay. So you remember the Road Warriors, right?
Right, right.
They were like Road Warrior cosplay, but by the end, what happened is Vince couldn't sign the Road Warriors, so he decided to make his own Road Warriors. So he did Axe and Smash, but they were very physical. I'm talking. lots of slams, body slams, but it's mostly strikes, forearms, and they really played into the fact that they were stronger and more dominant than their opponents. Their matches didn't last that long. They were literally like Demolition. It was like Legion of Doom, but then they kind of became their own thing.
I got you. I like it. Let's talk about the next match here, which is the heavyweight title match. Velveteen Dream taking on my man and future namesake of my next child, Tommaso Ciampa. Do you think they're going to put the title on Velveteen?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think there's any chance. I mean, he has this perfect spot that he's over no matter what.
Yeah, he's such a guy that he can lose and it doesn't matter, right?
And it doesn't matter. I mean, seriously. I mean, you look at TakeOver. TakeOver is this year, you know. First he beat Cassizono, then he lost in the ladder match at TakeOver. Then there was Chicago. I forgot who he wrestled at Chicago, but his like best match ever was against Aleister Black, and he lost.
Yeah. I remember that, and that had such the cool ending where he was trying to get Aleister Black to say his name, and Aleister Black would never acknowledge him, right?
Yeah.
And then after he stands up to Aleister Black, they have this phenomenal 50-50 match. Aleister Black goes over and says, do you say great match or have a nice day or whatever? But he's like, have a great match, Velveteen Dream. And that was, dude, the crowd popped. I popped watching that, dude.
Yeah, so you're looking at the TakeOvers this year, you know, he's like, I think 2-2 at TakeOvers. So he loses as much as he wins, you know, and it's just like, it doesn't matter with him. Everybody sees the talent there. So, yeah, Ciampa's, they're going to have a hell of a match. I'm honestly setting a bar at 4.5 stars.
Really?
If it's not 4.5 stars, I'm going to be disappointed. And Ciampa's going to win by some nefarious means. He's not going to just straight up win, but he's going to win, you know?
Right.
Maybe even someone we talk about later interferes, whatever. It's just, but it doesn't matter to Velveteen Dream. He's got that rocket on as far as how fans feel about him.
Yeah, makes sense. Next we have Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano versus Aleister Black. What do you think about this? Can they get a 5-star match out of these two?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people that now I didn't believe in him, but now I'm truly like Johnny Gargano could put on a 5-star match with a new student in wrestling.
Yeah, like, I think you could throw me in there with Gargano, and he could get a 5-star match out of me. He's just that good.
Yeah, he could sell. He's really good at playing up the other wrestler's strengths where you ignore their weaknesses, and that's what a great athlete does. And it's just Johnny Gargano is like that. He's on that Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels level of Kenny Omega level, where I'm so good I can take someone average and make them look amazing.
Yeah, Johnny Gargano is just an absolute beast. How do you feel about this heel turn that he's going through?
I don't think we know everything yet.
I think
it's gonna play out over the next few weeks, and we'll learn more. And I know it's already, from what I understand, it's already been recorded, and they've already put spoilers out online, but I'm really good at avoiding NXT spoilers.
You're like, it's like a minefield, and you're just like going through it, huh?
Oh, no, like everything's muted. Like the main guy that reports all the NXT stuff, I love him. I've met him in person. He's brilliant. I respect everything he writes. His name's JJ Williams, and if you're one of those people that don't matter, that, you know, that don't care about that kind of stuff, I say follow him on Twitter. He's amazing. He's at JJ Williams 1, because he works for the, you know, he works with the Wrestling Observer Network, right?
Right.
But he's a super spoiler. I mean, he's at the show when they're taping, and he puts all spoilers. He's muted on my timeline.
And so you'll just go look him up whenever, like, when you want to read something?
When I want to read something, I have to go look him up. I follow him, but he's muted. I can't see anything. My friends Izzy and her dad, love them to death. They're muted. Because I don't want the NXT spoilers. I want to watch wrestling as they want me to consume it.
I dig it. I absolutely dig it. And then finally, this one, the women's title match is still unconfirmed. It's been announced, but how did I read that? I read this, you know, I got the matches off of Wrestling Inc., and I want to say that the way they put it was this one hasn't been completely confirmed, because apparently Shayna Baszler has an ankle injury she's battling right now, but it's Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler. Let's just talk for a minute as if this match goes through and Shayna Baszler is at 100%. What do you expect from this?
I expect the Four Horsewomen to allow her to retain it.
And now, when you said Four Horsewomen, do you just mean just the...
Jessamine and Marina, yeah.
Okay, no Ronda Rousey coming to NXT?
No, not yet. I just truly... They showed with her winning the title at Evolution... that I don't think they're going to call her up anytime soon. I mean, it might... I'm just saying I don't think they're going to call her up this year. She might, like, lose at the Royal Rumble, and then they call her up for the WrestleMania run, but I don't think she's getting called up this year. So Shayna Baszler is one of those people. She's such a badass, and it's she's amazing, but she works better. Her character works better with the belt.
Yeah, I love... Shayna Baszler as the champion, the top of the mountain, and the babyface is coming to try to dethrone her. I think that's the perfect spot for her.
Yeah.
Which is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, that's what I tell people sometimes when they be like, oh, this dude was 14-time champion. That's cool, but, you know, again, someone's writing you as a champion, and what if your character just works better when you're the champion? You know,
right.
And somebody like Johnny Gargano is always going to work better chasing.
Yeah.
I will tell you any day, you know, Shayna Baszler is a great women's wrestler, you know, but Johnny Gargano is an elite men's wrestler. He's like way better wrestler, but because of how his character is, he doesn't really work with the title. So maybe at the end of his career, he might only have like one or two title reigns, but it's going to be a significant career.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I get that. And I think a lot of wrestling fans can see that, you know, when they look at someone's overview of their career, you see someone like The Undertaker that only has 6 world title reigns, but, you know, obviously one of the most influential wrestlers of all time. You know, his character, he didn't need the title to be The Undertaker, whereas someone like Ric Flair, his character...
was built on being the best. His character,
yeah, built on being that piece of shit. You know, pardon my French, but that piece of shit that you just couldn't figure out how to beat. You would whoop his ass, and then somehow he would manage to get a roll up 1-2-3, and he's out of town before anyone even realizes what happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what I tell people. You know, with The Miz, I'm like, I mean, The Miz is so good and gotten so better. His character technically needs a belt, but he's so good he doesn't.
Yeah, like he needs it, but he doesn't need it, you know?
No, because he's still talking just as much shit like he has a belt.
But man, I hope The Miz gets one more world title run. I know how you just said that, you know, people, people write that in, you know, if you're a champion or not. But still, it still means something. Like, you know, it still means you're the face of the company. And I know that you're not saying that it doesn't. I'm just explaining why I think The Miz should have one more run. Because he was a totally different person when he was the world champion at WrestleMania 27, right?
Yeah.
When he got that victory over John Cena, which a lot of people say is one of the worst WrestleMania main events in recent memory. I think he should get another world title run, even if it's just a short run, just to, you know, because he was Rolling Stone Wrestler of the Year this past year, you know, like he's a great shit talker. He's great. And people, you know, don't give him enough in-ring credit. Like he, you know, he's a safe wrestler in the ring. That's the WWE style. You know what I mean? That's what he came up in.
The problem, The problem at 27 is that, to me, as much as Miz was the chicken shit heel, they really, really, really needed to press that he was as good as John Cena. But the way that they booked it is that John Cena was clearly better than The Miz.
Yep.
And no one really respected him. But funny point I bring from that WrestleMania, I thought the main event entrances were my favorite entrances in wrestling.
At WrestleMania 27?
Yeah, because they did this thing where they had Miz and he was standing at the video board and he was watching his whole career.
Yeah.
And they had Nas' song, You Can Hate Me Now.
Right.
And then that led into the playing in, and then his music hit. And I just thought it made that match seem so much bigger.
Yep, I agree.
Because then it showed John Cena pretty much watching the tape. You see him debuting against, Kurt Angle. You see him in the Mafia in Chicago in that gear. And then, you know, I forgot what song his was. But his song was playing, and then his song hit. It had that big fight feel to it, because both of you saw how far both of these people had come in their careers, and it was just like, that was always my favorite one. And it's funny, because, you know, so many people hate that WrestleMania, but that was like my favorite entrance.
Yeah, I loved, now that you mention it, I loved The Miz's entrance in that, when you're talking about how, maybe not so much, you know, the awesome balloon, that's the big balloon that spelled awesome. Like, I felt like that was a little cheap. But yeah, the intro video, or the, I guess the vignette or whatnot, where, yeah, Nos is playing and, you know, he's talking about, basically it's showing, you know, hey, I was a reality TV star. People said I wouldn't make it. Then people said I wouldn't amount to anything. Then people said I'd never be champion. And I've done it all. And now I'm headlining WrestleMania, so you can hate me if you want. But I did everything. I've already done everything you said I wasn't going to be able to do. I just thought that was, God, that was so badass. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's like, that's why Miz is one of my favorite personalities. Because when people talk about, you know, bullying, and people talk about, you know, the business and everything like that, he's been through it all. You know, Alberto Del Rio didn't like him. He outlasted him. JBL gave him shit. You know what? He's outlasted him. You know, he's still there. Everybody that said he couldn't make it when he got in, he's still there. When it was The Miz and Morrison, and everybody was like, Morrison was clearly the star of that group. Guess who's still with the WWE? Guess who's been a world champion, WWE champion, and guess who hasn't? You know, he outlasted them all.
Yep. Very true, man. Very true. I was just looking up, I was looking at the card. I guess we could talk about that for a minute as well before we go off the air. I think I've already kind of told you, but we saved some of it, a lot of it, for the air, and that was, I got to live, once again, every wrestling fan's dream this past weekend, dude. I had to, I drove 2 hours to get to Tulsa, and Saturday I worked a show for a promotion called Wrestling for a Cause, and I did commentary and host duties, and I hosted After the Cause, which is, if you follow us on Facebook, it's the interview segment that goes after the promotion show, and then...
Kind of like talking smack?
Yeah, kind of like talking smack, dude, and it was awesome. We have, a guy by the name of Zach Royal that was my co-host, and basically him and I split it up by, he interviewed all the baby faces and I interviewed all the heels. And dude, it's so funny because all the heels have this like long running gimmick, or not long running because I've only been there a few months with this promotion, but they have this just this running gimmick that they can't remember my name. So like people call me Jason and Jacob and everything, and dude, it's just hilarious. So I wanted to say, everyone be sure and go follow Wrestling for a Cause, or follow, you know, follow Indie Wrestling Radio on Facebook and everything, so you can see that. And then I went down to, I got home at like 11:30, 12:30 at night, and then I had to get right back up at like 6:30, and I had to head down to Dallas, and I worked Heroes of Wrestling down there, which is, these two are my home promotions, so got one in Oklahoma and one in Texas. So I go down there and I'm on commentary. And anybody that was listening to the episode, the first episode that we that you and I had after our first Heroes of Wrestling episode on Facebook Live, and you gave me your thoughts and opinions on my commentary. Well, this was the first chance that I had to fix that and really turn on my character and turn on, like, I guess you would call it, you know, just really change what I needed to change on my commentary, man. So I just went all out, just obnoxious and loud and just Jerry Lawler to the JR, because that's how you put it. Remember?
Yeah.
You said you really got to be, you really got to be an antagonist. You got to be Jerry the King Lawler to your co-host's Jim Ross. So this was the first time that I got to do that since that day. And dude, when we got off the air for intermission, my co-host was like, "Bro, you just killed it." He's like, "That's why I brought you in, man. That's what I wanted to hear." And dude, you don't know how happy that made me hearing that, dude. It was awesome. And what sucks is we still got one or two more episodes
before
you'll really get to hear that, dude. So like, I'm like, oh man, like I don't want people to watch episode 5 and hear my subpar commentary, you know, and think that's what I'm talking about. But I mean, not that my commentary. Anybody that's getting ready to watch episode 5. Is that tonight?
Yeah.
Is today Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody that watched my commentary, I was doing a more of a Colt Cabana Ring of Honor commentary style, where a little bit of statistics and, you know, kind of right down the middle, calling out the heels, back in the baby faces, you know, and calling it more straight laced. And, there wasn't anything wrong with what I was saying. It was just more of a monotone, commentary style, and when I started getting feedback from the people that I trust, and in those people I'm talking about Floyd, which, you know, you obviously, my co-host and the owner of the promotion, which is Will Rigdon at Heroes of Wrestling, a friend of mine named Will Alday that is in Booker T's school that wrestles for us at Heroes, and then our ring announcer and good friend of mine Mitch McCoy, who's been on the show before. I talked to those four people, and they all said the same thing, like, you know, hey, I think since Will is such a professional on commentary and that's what he does for a living, like, you should be more of a character style rather than straight lace style. So I took y'all's advice. Everyone said something very similar, you know what I mean? So I didn't have to play the guessing game on what people wanted. Like, it was very obvious what people were looking for, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got to do that where, like, I put it in with the character that I'm creating, my wrestling persona, and dude, I can't wait for you to hear it, Floyd. Like, I'm obnoxious, and I'm like, oh my god, did you see that? Like, it was a lot of fun, dude. It was a lot of fun. You have to come down there, man. You have to come down to a show, dude.
No, definitely. I definitely will.
Next month, I hope you and Ryan come down next month and see Kilman Jr.
Yeah, I think that's the one we're going to be at, is the December 15th show.
Yeah. I think December 16th, I think. It's on a Sunday, so.
Okay.
It's either 15th or 16th. You and I, we shouldn't argue about dates on this episode, because both of us have been so, we can't remember dates on this episode. But yeah, man, I just, thank you for letting me talk about those two promotions a little bit. I love what I get to do, you know, with those two indie promotions. And anybody that's listening, and you know, Floyd's done work with different indie promotions as well. If you get a chance to do anything with any promotion, I'm talking, and I'm not even talking about trying to make money. I'm talking about if you just get to volunteer your time just to get to work with an indie promotion, man, you absolutely should do it. For anyone out there listening, you absolutely should do it. It is so cool.
And you get a whole new respect for the business.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly what Floyd said. Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, you know, I get to work, I get to live this dream. I get to work in wrestling, you know, full time. And I absolutely love it. But I have just as many friends that, you know, have a Monday through Friday 9-to-5 job, and then they show up on Saturday, and they're some of the best wrestlers around. You know what I mean? And it, and they enjoy it, and you talk to them, and they're like, yeah, I love my day job. I get to live a normal life Monday through Friday, and then I get to come and be great at this too. And it's just, man, I want to see everyone, anyone that's interested in wrestling, I hope that they get the opportunity to work in wrestling in some fashion. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's just so awesome. Just absolutely, it's so much fun.
I'll just say, take any chance you have. Just, if you get a chance to learn this or whatever, do it, you know?
Yeah, don't, absolutely.
Yeah.
It might. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just wish I would have known more was out there when I was younger. I definitely would have done this more.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely, dude. I feel like, I look at you and I'm like, man, you probably be running a promotion somewhere. You know what I mean? You could do it because you got such a mind for it, dude. I feel like one of these days you're gonna be like, whenever you get older and you're like ready to slow down at work or you retire or something, I picture you like having a promotion in like Moore, Oklahoma or something like that. You think that'd be something you'd ever do?
I would definitely work with one. I don't know if I would run it myself, but I would definitely work with one. I've always been more interested in the writing / booking of wrestling than anything else.
Dude, I think I can see you doing it, dude. I can see you and Marvelous Mike. I've said this before. You and Marvelous Mike, y'all have like a real knack for wrestling. I think between the two of y'all, not even between the two of y'all, I think each one of y'all could really do some creative work in wrestling. I think that would be really cool. I'd watch it in a heartbeat.
Like I said, it's like, it's definitely not about a love or a passion. It's like wrestling is my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
y'all, you and Marvelous Mike are the two people that I come to if I have any questions about wrestling. And I've had plenty of questions about wrestling. I'm not the smartest wrestling guy even close to being, you know, the genius of wrestling like a lot of people like you and Marvelous Mike are, you know. So I think one of the best qualities I have is that I know that that's not the thing that I'm the best at, in sometimes understanding storylines and stuff. So, you know, when it comes to intricate storylines, and I know that about myself. So I'm humble enough to come to y'all two and be like, hey man, help me out with this. Like, where would you go from here? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, definitely.
Well, dude, I think that is about the show. Why don't you tell us where you spend your weekends at, my man?
If you don't know, you should know. I'm on Around the Ring on the Chair Shot Network. Sundays we drop around noon. You can go to Facebook, Twitter, Around the Ring OK. Email us at aroundtheringok@gmail.com. We'll answer your questions. I'll talk about anything if you haven't noticed that.
Well, thank y'all all for tuning in. We appreciate it so, so very much. For all of you that tune in on iTunes or thechairshot.com, Floyd and I wish you a great day. Stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?